B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Online with us right now, a man that wrote a phenomenal, phenomenal piece on Inquirer.com. Mike Sielski joins us right now. Mike, good morning, man.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I was reading your piece yesterday. I said, we got to talk to Mike. First off, man, can you just tell a story for us of where you were when you found out about Kobe Bryant's passing?
Yeah, sure. I was driving from my in-law's house back to my house so that I could get my 8-year-old son changed for a basketball game. And then when we, you know, you're stopped at a traffic light and I happen to look at my phone, which I shouldn't be doing, and you see the news start to trickle out on Twitter and I'm like, oh my God. And my kid is like, Dad, what's the matter? I'm like, I think Kobe Bryant's dead. And we got home and got changed and I made a couple phone calls and we got to the game. And after the game, my son pointed out to me, he said, Dad, did you see the kid on the other team? And I said, no. He said, yeah. He said he had a, you know, green tank top on, uniform tank top, and a white undershirt underneath. And on one of the sleeves, he had written Kobe. And it's a tiny little thing. I mean, it's a piece of, you know, lint in an ocean of moments and emotions yesterday. But, you know, this is why we care about stuff like this when it happens. This is why we care about people like this when they're around and when they leave us, is they have this reach and this pull that is just incredible and so strong. And, you know, here's a little, you know, 8-9-year-old basketball game, you know, 25 miles north of Philadelphia, 30 miles from Lower Merion Township, and you felt it there. And, you know, like I said in the column, I think a lot of people, you know, around the country and even around the world felt that way yesterday too.
When you think of Kobe Bryant, Mike, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I think two things, just as a player, couple things as a player, the competitiveness, you know, you would have this discussion with people, is Kobe really from Philadelphia because he grew up in Lower Merion, which in retrospect seems so silly, and speaks to kind of how provincial and parochial we are.
Yeah, really.
No, Lower Merion isn't Philly, man. You got to be from the city. But, man, was there ever a player who played like a Philly player or was a Philly player more than Kobe? He was so freaking tough and so competitive. And then the other thing is I spent 25 minutes on YouTube last night watching highlight clips of him, and the degree of difficulty of shots that he took and made in big spots was just breathtaking. Like, I know analytics is a huge part of sports now, and you can argue that, like, his shooting percentage wasn't as good as some guys and this and that. You know, he would take, you know, he had a mid-range game at a time when the league was heading to the three-point shot. But, you know, if you just love watching a great basketball player do incredible things on the court, it was hard to find a better player to watch than Kobe Bryant.
You couldn't hit the nail more on the head when it comes to asking every athlete that comes through Philadelphia to play like Kobe, because everything was all about winning, whatever it took to win. And not just that, also expanding his game, that little fadeaway that he developed in his career, you know, baseline jumpers, three-point game, defense, I mean, 12-time all-defensive team in the NBA. Every step he took throughout his career was to get better. And also, after he ruptured his Achilles, he came back after that despite already being a 5-time NBA champion.
Yeah, he did. You know, and there was some, you know, mild controversy at the end of his career when he came back from that, and the Lakers re-signed him, you know, to a very lucrative contract, and they paid him all this money under the salary cap. And again, this to me is an interesting part of his life and career and legacy, is that he was in some ways kind of swimming upstream against, you know, the way basketball was headed. It was kind of like, you know, no, the Lakers should cut bait with Kobe. You got to rebuild. You can't keep him around. You can't make your centerpiece player a guy who dunks and shoots mid-range shots, really difficult mid-range and deep jump shots, ways at this age and when the league is trending toward the three-point shot and the corner three and all of that. But he was Kobe, and it was the Lakers, and that's what they did. And, you know, on the one hand, they weren't very good, but on the other hand, you got to see Kobe play for a few more years and really be Kobe.
Mike, I was talking about the buzz that would be in the arena when the Lakers and Kobe would come to town. And, you know, you get a buzz when the Celtics come. You get that buzz, obviously, when LeBron's there. But I thought because of his local ties, it seemed to me that nothing matched when the Lakers and Kobe came to town. I was wondering if you thought the same thing.
I absolutely thought the same thing, Bobby. And I would argue that buzz went back to Lower Merion. I can remember being an undergrad at LaSalle when Roman Catholic played Lower Merion.
Yeah.
1 year
at Drexel, right?
Yeah, at Drexel. Yeah. It was Kobe versus Donnie Carr. And it, you know, as a LaSalle undergrad, this was like Christmas because we knew Donnie Carr was coming to LaSalle, and the rumors of Kobe coming to LaSalle were hot and heavy. And you know, the buzz began then, and then to have him go to the Lakers and be, you know, the team outside the Eastern Conference who, you know, were the team to play against. They were the team you wanted to see when they came to town, and it was Kobe, and he wanted to cut the Sixers' hearts out, you know, in the finals. And there was this admiration and hate for him at the same time, because he was one of us, but he wasn't one of us, but he was so great, and he was playing for this other team and winning championships. You know, and add the other layer onto it that he came out the same draft year that Allen Iverson did. You know, and he didn't go number one. Allen Iverson did. And are you really going to argue with the Sixers for taking Allen Iverson number one? But look at who they could have had later in the draft. It just, there were so many layers to it. But yeah, I agree with you completely. When he came to town, it was an event every time.
Speaking with Mike Sielski, Inquirer.com. When you talk about 2001, I know that's where a lot of us will go back to in our memory banks and kind of look at Kobe and the way he played that series. And other than the cut your heart out moment, which is, I know, 17-year-old Mark Farzetta really hated Kobe Bryant for that. But really, when you think about it, that was just the type of player he was. But as a whole, when you think about 2001, what pops to mind?
I mean, that obviously pops to mind. You know, it's the only thing that pops to mind. It was as if, you know, the Sixers, you think about the Sixers winning game one and everybody around here getting so excited for it. And because the Lakers hadn't won a playoff game, hadn't lost a playoff game heading into that finals. They were, you know, they were 12-0, I think. And, you know, Iverson steps over Tyronn Lue and everybody here goes bananas and thinks, okay, maybe the Sixers have a shot here. And then Kobe and Shaq just snuff that out so quickly over the next four games. It's like, no, guys, forget it. And I think that series, you know, is emblematic of really, you know, around here, what we talk about when we talk about Kobe as a player is he to me is the ultimate example of the guy who, if he had played here, no one would have been loved more than him. Nobody, because of the way he played, because of what he did. But the fact that he didn't play here and the fact that he played in a city and for a franchise that Philadelphians don't care for, regard as a rival, and have this kind of grudging respect for, made him one of the most, you know, hated in some ways players, because he was getting the better of us. He was winning five championships on the other coast, and he was the most competitive guy. And, yeah, he wanted to cut your heart out and all of that. You know, it's just funny how it worked out that way.
Speaking with Mike Sielski, Inquirer.com. Last thing for you. Do you remember the first time you saw him, Mike?
First time I saw him?
Saw Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. I mean, I saw him I on the highlights on TV, watching local news, this kid at Lower Merion, and knowing that he was Joe Bryant's son, and there was a, you know, a lineage there, a legacy to Philadelphia basketball. It was on TV. First time I saw him, yeah.
Mike, I can't thank you enough for coming on with us, man. Again, phenomenal piece. Definitely check it out, Inquirer.com. Also follow Mike Sielski on Twitter as well. Mike, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, guys.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.